So usually we start out the show with Happy Time Zone, or at least that's what we've decided to do.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that quite works today, because there's some time zones that are not included in this little Happy Time Zone, and that's the Martian time zone. I want to talk about that a little bit. Did you just watch that?
Yeah, I did. I only caught it because of what was you posted in your Discord. I didn't even realize they were relaunching that that mission to Mars, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, and it brought back a lot of memories for when I caught a light. Let me start again. I caught a space shuttle launch at night when I was in America last time.
Oh, see, I live here and I've never seen one of those.
It's probably one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. We went to Florida for two and a half week vacation. We'd done some of the theme parks, and then we drove down to the Keys, then across towards Miami, but didn't get as far as Miami. And then we went back up and we got like just below Daytona Beach area. And like my parents had told us that there was a space shuttle launch. And I've even found the mission that we watched, and it's the STS-126. Went at 7:55 EST on November 14th, 2008. That was the official, I think they said it was like they were planning on like the night launches were coming to an end or something, and this was kind of like their last run of them or something like that. But anyway, it was a night launch, and we were about 20 miles out of NASA in Florida, which is, I can't think which what it's called.
Cape Canaveral, I think.
Yeah, and it just lit the sky up. Honestly, it was like this little ball of white energy that just obliterated the horizon, and it was just unbelievable what we saw. And then all of a sudden, it just carried on up and up and up. And there was this point in the mission where, because we're on this beach, and I love how, like, Americans do things, and if this was England, this is the honest truth, and British people who listen to this show will know what I mean. We're kind of a bit like, yeah, it's a spaceship launch, yeah. But when we were in America, right, there was two big things that happened when I was over there. Obama had just won the presidential election, which caused mass parties all over the place. And then this space shuttle launch, and we had these RVs, and we were on holiday, and we were driving around, and we pulled up to this caravan park. This RV park, and there was people who lived on this RV park. Like, they were making like stews and food and sandwiches, and they were doing all these massive like party things. And we were on the beach chilling with this two or three different like families while we were doing barbecue, waiting for this space shuttle. And one dude had like this radio tapped into. Obviously, there was a NASA radio or wherever he was listening to it. And it was this moment where one of the bolts or something on the door, or a door, had come loose, and all of a sudden there was this talk of this whole mission being scrapped because of this bolt. But it was just incredible just to not only witness that, but it was how America kind of like got together. You know, it was like the country had seen Obama win the election, and then this, and we were witnessing it with people there. It was awesome.
Yeah, I've never witnessed that kind of stuff. When I was a kid, I remember watching the Challenger mission. That was the one that blew up on when they were taking off.
Yeah,
and my mom let me stay home from school that day because I was a big space nerd, and I remember watching that, and like I was just like, oh my God, what just happened? And my mom went over and shut off the TV, and she, you know. It was very, very intense, and I've always really been fascinated with space travel and stuff like that. And the reason that I brought it up was because Richard and I just finished watching the NASA JPL land the InSight probe on Mars, which is a probe which I think is especially interesting because I have a degree in geology. Mm-hmm. And it is studying the crust of Mars and trying to figure out how the planets formed early in Earth's history, 4.5 billion years ago, which is incredibly interesting to me. So this is something that I'm going to be paying attention to for a long time. although I'm sure that the papers that will be released will be well over my head, and I'll have to wait until somebody dumbs it down just a little bit for me so that I can understand what's going on. Because, you know, even though I have a degree in geology, that this stuff is still really, really complicated. Yeah. And these guys are PhDs and stuff like that. But the things that they have to do to land on another planet is just so mind-boggling that they were ever able to figure it out. And I know that the moon is not a planet, but they were able to figure it out back in the friggin' 60s.
Yep.
And, you know, back in the 60s, they would say, well, you might as well land on the moon. If you were going to describe something as being nearly impossible, that's what you would say. Well, you'd better land on the moon. You've got a better chance of doing that. That's how hard this thing is. And then we landed on the moon. And the conversation immediately turned towards, well, what's our next target? And our next target is Mars. Mars is the next thing that we should do, the next thing that we should check out. And I don't want to say that NASA's done nothing, but people just, I find it so weird that you had this experience where people really care
yeah.
about this stuff. Because I find that if you were walking down the street in my hometown and you asked, you know, 30 people if they knew about this mission today, I probably would guess that maybe one of them would know about it ahead of time. Now that it's landed, my phone blew up with a bunch of notifications from various news apps that I have installed. And so they might hear, oh, look, we landed a thing on Mars. Who cares? That's what a lot of people feel. A lot of people feel like, who cares? And I just find that so disheartening.
Yeah.
It drives me bananas.
Well, when I was in Florida, we came out of a restaurant and they just announced that the ex-president Obama had won. And it was the first time a black man had won the presidential election, and it was huge. And we were in Florida, which, you know, when we were out there was curfews for anybody under the age of 21, and they kind of lifted everything. We'd never witnessed it. And you speak to any British person and it's,
wait, how come there were curfews?
I think there was curfews in place for under from my memory serves me correct, it was kind of like if they were in school or something, there was like a curfew for what time you should be in. I remember a story being...
Oh, okay. I understand. Yeah.
Unless you were actually working or something. We're talking 10 years ago. I mean, it's 10 years to the month that I was out there. And I've slept, drunk, alcohol, and got married since then. So my brain is filled with rubbish. please don't tell my wife that. But anyway, so they kind of put it into a state party, and we'd never witnessed anything because in England we have that experience of what you just described of no one really cares. Currently, we're going through one of the worst political messes in recent memory. For anybody who doesn't know, we are currently, you know, involved with Brexit, and we're all at the point where it's like, she signed it finally, you know, and when the parties go to vote in England, and it's probably the same in every other country, but it really does feel very disheartening here, like you've just described the, you know, what would be like
apathy.
Yeah, that's the word. Thank you. So it was nice to be kind of swept up in that experience of people were getting behind something and enjoying what they were experiencing. For us, it was a bit like, this is unreal. As a British person seeing it, it was mad. But, you know, we have those experiences here when, you know, the Tory party, the Labour party, and the rest of the parties go to war to find out who's, I don't mean literally war, they don't go at each other with like guns and, you know, go to the polls and they go to vote. It's very kind of like, oh, this again, because it just seems like you're right. There's everyone just feels a bit disheartened. But I've experienced, it was kind of those little experiences that you kind of walk away and go, there's still a little bit of a bit of human, you know, nice bit of human nature out there still, and you can kind of experience that. Rare, I know, but it was quite a surreal experience.
Do you think it's possible in our lifetime that a person will make it to Mars?
I don't know. I think that's a real tough question to, because you kind of comprehend how far Mars is away from here, like sitting in little old England looking up at the stars, and you think, well, up there somewhere is Mars. You know, we've done it, we've got to the moon.
Just to put it in perspective, the moon is about 250,000 miles away, and Mars is 300,000,000 miles away.
I think quite possibly we might see it towards the end of our lifetime. If not, it'll probably be in our children's lifetime, because technology is moving at that pace where they are able to do some marvelous things. You know,
I think that we've had the technology to do this for a very long time. Or at least we've had the ability to develop the technology for a very long time, but there's been no will to do it. Like, we beat the Russians to the moon, and then and suddenly everybody was like, all right,
job
we
done.
Did it. Job done. Let's all pack it in. And they pretty much scuttled the Apollo program, and they just kept sending sending ships up to the International Space Station, which is great. There's great science that happens up there, but it's not exciting for people. It's like when you take your kid to Disneyland. You know, it's like taking your kid to Disneyland and then expecting them the next week to get excited about going to the mall.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, like that NASA took us to the moon, and ever since then it's just been mall trips. And that's not to say that what they're doing isn't awesome, because it is. And it's not to say that what they're doing isn't hard, because I guarantee that it is. But what it is saying is that it's not, and I even don't like to say it's not exciting, because I think it's exciting. But to the average person who doesn't really care about this stuff, I mean, I'm a science teacher, so I kind of have a investment in this stuff. But to the average person who doesn't really care about this stuff, like, all these mall trips are kind of boring.
Mm.
And we need something to get excited about. And, you know, if you want to send somebody to Mars, that's fine. But I almost feel like we need to race against somebody in order to excite Americans enough to get people to go there.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I think it feels like when America got to the moon first, it feels like Russia were just like, ah, that'll do. You can have that one. We'll take this one on the chin, boys. Let's call it a day. You know,
well, Russia's sending another lunar mission, and they said that they're going to verify that we managed it.
Right. Okay.
By landing there.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
I don't know. It just, you kind of, yeah, you kind of want a little bit of a war between some nations to spark out and go, right, let's have a race. Let's see who can actually get there first. And
yeah,
you know, unfortunately it doesn't feel like, maybe we won't see it because they don't seem to have that competitiveness that, you know, back in the 60s where it was like they were pushing. And you probably, I mean, to put a bit of a downer on it, I expect a massive company like NASA are probably, I don't know, maybe they're conscious of the money that it, and they're launching rockets. It sounds really silly that what I'm about to say, because they're launching rockets all the time. I just looked at their schedule for December, and they're launching another two or three in December. But maybe the funding or the money that would be involved in sending someone, an actual human, not a vaxxer or a robot, sorry,
right,
to Mars, is just, you know, the actual money-wise is probably what is going to stop that mission. I would love to know the bill behind the mission to the moon back in the 60s, because then I'd love to put it with like inflation and everything else to find out what it would have been in like in 2018. So I think with the way nations are and the fact that we in 2008 we had the financial crisis and everyone is constantly like, you know, we're trying to hold on to the pennies. NASA come out and go, right, we're going to send a human to Mars. The first reaction NASA will get from everyone, and it'll be on social media, it'll be, well, that's a waste of money. What does that kind of do? Where people like myself and you who go, that's really cool. Do it. That's an amazing use of funds. Send someone to Mars, get on with it. Where 90% of the populace will go, it's a waste of money. And I think,
I've run into arguments like that a million times. And what people don't understand is that you don't get what you pay for.
No,
what you're paying for, you don't know what you're paying for, because there's things that are discovered through the process of overcoming these challenges that you will never have thought of otherwise. Let me give you a concrete example. I could be wrong about this, but I remember reading this many years ago. But mammogram devices that help detect breast cancer early.
Yes.
Those were those are using technology that was originally invented by NASA as something to get over like some roadblock that they were running into. It's not that you can. People, they always forget that you don't know what you're going to discover.
Yeah.
Because science, space exploration doesn't have a practical there's no practical application for space science, because you don't know what's going to happen until after you figured it out, and then you use all of the things that you learned along the way and you turn them around and put them the way that they are now. GPS. We wouldn't have GPS without space exploration.
No, too true. You know, there's a lot of things.
You know,
things we wouldn't.
There's so many things that we have now.
Yeah.
That we never would have had before, without us going to the moon. And I guarantee that by figuring out how to go to Mars, it will spur something on that will end up being useful in some way. One of my favorite TV shows of all time, I think I've mentioned it on the show before, was The West Wing. And there's this really cool scene where this woman is arguing with a man about why we should or should not go to the moon. And he does this really cool, impassioned speech, and it ends with the human experience is measured by how far we've explored. Yeah. And I always latched onto that. And I was like, man, that's such an awesome quote. I wish I could write like Aaron Sorkin. That guy can write. But I think that we need to go to Mars and we need to continue to explore, because this is from the same episode. He says this, I have this on a wall in my classroom. He says, we came out of the cave and we saw fire, and we walked over the hill and we saw the ocean. We crossed the ocean. We took to the sky, and then we went to the moon. And now we have to keep going, because it's what's next.
Mm.
And I think that I was really excited to watch this today. And I was really happy that it happened at the end of the school day, when I didn't have to teach a lesson, because we're not in the space unit anymore. And as much as I like to bring this stuff in to the main stuff, I don't have time, because I have standardized testing that I have to deal with. So my students were working on a lab, and so I just put it up on the screen, the live thing, and we all watched it together while they were working on their other work. And it was really exciting, and especially when all the nerds jumped up and cheered. And then they all gathered around a TV for a while to see if pictures were going to come up. And then a picture came up, and all the nerds stood up and cheered, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was very, very exciting stuff.
Well, I have a fact here on the – I asked and wondered how much it was for the Apollo program to send them to the moon. Yeah. It cost $25.4 billion back then. Which is equivalent to roughly $150 billion in today's dollars. So there you go.
That's really not that much.
No, compared to when you break down what probably our respective governments spend on different things, you could probably get away with it, you know. And it's like
look at just what the U.S. spends on defense.
Yeah, yeah. We
spend you're talking to a former soldier. I think that spending on defense should be high, and soldiers should be treated really well and paid exceedingly well. But you look at how much we spend on defense, we could definitely afford to figure this out.
Well, apparently you spend nearly $600 billion on defense.
That's in 1 year.
Yeah, in a fiscal year. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's in 1 year. All right, speaking of money.
How much do I owe you? I didn't realize I owed you anything for this podcast. Where did that
come from? No. Well, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, they just came. And of course, horrible things happened here in the U.S. on Black Friday, which I'm not going to get into or talk about, because that's just how it is here, I guess. But did you find any deals that you are excited about?
Oh, I can't stand Black Friday.
Does it work over there? Does it work over there the same way that it does here? Because over here, we have like huge sales where things are much cheaper than they normally are, or at least they look that way.
Well, we kind of copied whatever you guys do and just literally slash prices on big brand names and electrical goods and games and all sorts. And no, I didn't pick up anything because I worked in retail. Not that my sector had anything to do with Black Friday, but I've worked in retail and seen this side of Black Friday from friends of mine who have worked in certain sort of stores. And it's very, I think we've only really done Black Friday for the last sort of three or four years. It's a very big thing for you over there, isn't it? It's massive. Like tradition.
It is. I mean, I don't go shopping, but I go online and shop.
Yeah. So I because of my job change, I haven't really been in the position to go, I'm going to spend that and that on Black Friday. So I had to be very good. Seeing as like the latest purchase was Pokemon Let's Go, and that's pretty much it. I haven't really bought anything. And again, I kind of normally skip Black Friday because it's just people are ugly on Black Friday, even here in England, where there were some reports of all sorts going on. So yeah, did you get anything?
Yeah, I bought some Christmas gifts and got them out of the way. Nothing huge. I felt like, because again, I don't go to a store. I mean, I don't go to a store when things are when like anytime. I never go to stores. I hate stores. Yeah. When my wife goes places. If she's going to a store and she's like, hey, do you want to come with me? I almost always say, no, I'm going to stay home because I have no interest. I can stand being in a store for about 5 minutes before I start to get itchy. And I'm just like, I got to get out of here. This sucks. This is terrible. And then I inevitably start complaining. I'm like, okay, are we done yet? Did you find the thing you're looking for? Just grab that one. Well, it's not the best price. I don't care if it's the best price. Just reach out and grab the thing. And then she's annoyed with me and I'm annoyed with her. And it's just better if I just stay home and let her shop.
Yeah.
Because she likes to go to the store and decide, okay, this one's $2 for this and this one's $5 for this, but $5 is actually you're getting more, so it's a better deal. She likes to figure all that stuff out, and I can't stand it.
Nope.
I just go to the store, I reach out, my hand grabs something and it throws it in the cart, and you know, hopefully it is similar to whatever it is that we need. So I don't shop.
Yeah.
But online for the past few years on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I've been like known to hunt down really, really good deals, and I got a couple of okay deals, but for the most part this year, I felt like nothing that was on sale I wanted.
Mm.
It was really disappointing. It's not like I woke up early or anything, but when I woke up, that's the first thing I did is I logged on Amazon. I was like, what's for sale? I don't want any of this crap. And my wife and I were talking about it, and it's funny because I guess we've entered the part of life where when you want something, because we went through the time in life where when you wanted something, you saved for a couple years, and if nobody had to go to the dentist, then maybe you'd be able to pick it up eventually, you know?
Yeah.
But now, because we both, like, I don't have expensive hobbies. I don't go golfing. I play video games, and every couple of years there'll be a large expense, but then for the most part, it's just small expenses. So my hobby's not terribly expensive. My wife sews. That's a extremely cheap hobby. She paints. Also a very cheap hobby. So we don't really have lots of stuff that we want.
Mm.
So usually when we want something, we just say, hey, is it okay if we get this? And the other person will, yeah, go ahead. And so we just buy stuff. And so I was like trying to find stuff for her, or she was trying to find stuff for me to get for each other for Christmas on the sale. And we're like, what? I have all of the stuff that I really want. There's nothing new that I'm like pining for that I haven't already picked up. So we were just kind of shrugging at each other. They were like, well, I don't know what we're going to open on Christmas. And nothing on sale on Black Friday was interesting to me. There were a couple things that I got just because they were really, really cheap. And I kind of had my eye on them, but I wasn't like, ooh.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been nothing.
Well, me and my wife, we're not actually buying anything for Christmas this year for each other. We're saving the money so we can go away next year. We it's obviously, again, with the job change, I've had to take a pay cut. Not a massive pay cut. So anybody who's listening thinking that all of a sudden I'm poor and in about 3 weeks' time I'll be on the street, that's not going to happen. It's going to happen in 2 weeks. Send all your donations. So no, I took a bit of a pay hit, which is fine. My wife got better hours, so we can afford for me to take a slight pay cut. But it's only going to be like for six months to a year. You're like, it's financially we'll probably be well financially in the future we'll be better off. So what we decided this year is, well, we're the same. I haven't got majorly expensive hobbies. I do martial arts. I game. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do anything. Or if I do drink, I drink little. And I've got like 5 bottles of Jack Daniels in the cupboard. And I bet, you know, I don't touch them. So it's like, I don't need any drink bought for me. And I'm the same as you. I play computer games as like a main hobby. And it's like, what do I do? And my wife plays Hearthstone. And it's like, you know.
You can't buy her card packs. That's a terrible gift.
No, she'd actually find that amazing. That's no lie. She would. She loves Hearthstone. She's like properly addicted to it. I've stopped playing, but my wife plays every day. She does it every day. She plays every day. Plays Tavern Brawl, the whole lot. She is like proper knee deep in Hearthstone, and it's like what? And it's kind of like proper role reversal. But yeah, we don't have expensive hobbies, and we kind of just looked at each other this year and went, what do we do? You know, and she was like, well, why don't we put our money aside and next year for our anniversary, we'll go away. We'll go away for the weekend, get someone to look after the kids for the weekend. And I said, that's a really good idea. Because now with my job, I work Monday to Friday. I can finish on a Friday evening. We can catch a late plane and we can go away for the weekend and be back on the Sunday sort of thing. So, it works out really, really well. So, yeah, this year, I mean, you know what it's like when you got kids at Christmas? They're the ones that get spoiled. I mean, my two will get spoiled like anything this Christmas from us and the grandparents and stuff. But sales wise, I didn't catch anything. There's not really a lot going on. I mean, like I said, in Black Friday in England, I know there was My son's looking to buy a Switch. We had this like last year with my son. He was going to save his money. He gets pocket money from my dad's, his granddad's. Granddad Pennies is his name. a little story, and this is great. My kid's trampoline broke in the garden. I think it was like windy and it kind of just flipped over and got the trampoline got taken out. So my son walked through the house when my dad was around and sat on his knee and just looked at him and went, "Granddad," and tapped him on the other knee and went, "We need a new trampoline." And now I'm not kidding. 2 hours later, my dad had gone down to the shop, bought him a trampoline, and we were putting together this damn trampoline in the back garden like that, like £140 worth of trampoline. Like bought like
I
that.
I always wanted a trampoline. Like when I was a kid, I wanted one. When I was an adult, I wanted one for my kids and of course for me. But every time I thought about it, well, my wife would always say, "You don't need any help getting hurt." And she's right. She's right. I don't need any help getting hurt.
Yeah.
That thing is just going to kill me. I remember once I used one once, only once. I only used one once and it was so fun. I especially like that feeling when you just finished jumping on the trampoline and you're walking on solid ground and you try to jump and you have absolutely no vertical jump at all. It's like your feet don't leave the ground. Yeah. It's a great feeling. It's so doofy and fun.
But that's my dad in a nutshell. If my son, a lot of people know who he is. He comes on stream sometimes. He is like, you know, and to be fair to my parents, they don't, my daughter is my stepdaughter, but they never treat her any differently. It's lovely to see, for my family or especially my side of the family, who they accept my daughter for who she is and they treat them both the same. So they were kind of like, for Christmas, what do they want? Whatever he has, you know, my daughter will have the exact equivalent, you know, exactly the same. So there's never any kind of like favoritism, but you know, my dad has been nicknamed Granddad Pennies just for that simple reason. I mean, he literally, if they're out together and they're like, "Oh, my son goes, Granddad, I want that Lego set." Next thing I know, there's a Lego set in my son's hand. So it's like, we don't need to spend the money on them because my dad's doing the work for us. So
there you go.
There you are.
All right. Well, I think that we hit a couple of good topics today. If you guys have things that you want us to talk about here on 78 Degrees, there is a Twitter hashtag that you can use that both Richard and I check regularly. No. And that is hashtag ask 78 degrees. So hashtag ask 78 degrees. Make sure you use that Twitter hashtag. Let us know what kind of stuff you want to talk about. Let us know, what did you think of the Mars landing of the InSight probe today? And did you get any awesome deals on Black Friday or Cyber Monday? Richard,
yes.
Thanks for coming on and doing this early because I have a dentist appointment on Wednesday, which I'm very sad about.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Yeah, no thank you. Where is it that people can track down your stuff, man?
They can find me all over the internet at That Chap Zap. That's Zap with two P's. That's on Twitter, Twitch, and all the other good places.
Awesome. And you guys can find me at runjumpstomp.com. We'll see you next time. See you, pal.
See you later, mate.